I thank the Lord to be here this morning. Just want you all to know you're very precious to me. It's a great privilege to be here. I also want you to know that I do love serving the Lord, so I'll just leave my little testimony here. It's a wonderful life. I recommend it. I wish everyone could enjoy and have the happy life that I do. So what the Lord has for us this morning, can I write on the board here? Okay, so I'll be careful. What is Jesus to you? What is Jesus to you? Sometimes people will wear a name badge and they'll say, "Hello, my name is," if you're in a place where you don't know anybody. So this is a way to get acquainted. And I've also noticed that when you're in certain places, it doesn't take them long to tell you, "I'm a Christian," which you're glad you knew that because their actions didn't portray it. Their speech didn't portray it, and their attitudes didn't portray it. But they wanted to tell you, "I am a Christian." But I want you to ask yourself, what is Jesus to me? What is it to me? There's a lot of people who like to wear the badge, "I'm a Christian." They like to say, "I am a Christian." But when it comes down to it, are you really interested in that portion, or is it just a way to glorify yourself? Is it a way for you to relate to other people, maybe? What makes you glad that you're a Christian? Are you happy to say it in all circumstances or only with certain people that you're with? See what I'm saying? Sometimes that Christian label is conditional. When I want to do something that I want to do, then the Christian label I've just put aside. But I just really want to know in your mind and in your heart today, what is Jesus to you? So I want to go to John the sixth chapter. We have here the disciples. They were following Jesus and they saw so many wonderful things. They saw so many delightful things. There was healings. There was feeding of the thousands. And that just didn't happen once, but it happened twice. That was recorded probably many more times that we don't know about. But John the sixth chapter was one of those special times. And it says in the sixth verse, John 6 and 6, "And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. He had asked if there was any bread to feed the thousands. But Philip answered and said, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little." There wasn't a time and a place where they had fast food restaurants on every corner and everybody just go get your meal during the day. No, they didn't have that opportunity or that availability. You had to either bring your lunch or depend on whatever was there. And there were thousands of people there. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, "There is a lad here which hath five barley loaves and two small fishes, but what are they among so many?" And Jesus said, "Make the men to sit down." And now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number, about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, and distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. And when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, "Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost." Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the five barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. So there were thousands of people that were there and they were able to feed them. And don't you know the disciples went away so thankful and glad and blessed. And when I know there's one place that says filled with 12 baskets. Well, you know, there's 12 disciples. They had food for later on too. It wasn't just a one-time filling. It was provisions for the future too. Don't you know they were glad they were Jesus' disciples? Well, this is the man I want to be with. He makes sure that we're all fed. He makes sure that we are in good shape. He's going to take care of us. That's where I want to be. I want to follow this man. I want to follow this man. So let's go with him even to Matthew, the fourth chapter and the 23rd verse. Matthew 4 and 23. And it says, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. Oh, that's the Jesus I want to be with. I am a Christian. Follow me. I want to show you where you can be healed. It said he healed them. He healed all of them. There wasn't an asterisk that said, well, we can do all of these, but these over here we can't do. No, he healed all of them. Well, now that's the Jesus I want to follow, don't you? That looks good to me. He feeds the thousands and he heals all manner of diseases. That's wonderful. I want to follow that man. I want to be with him. Then we'll go to Matthew, the 21st chapter, and the 6th verse. He had told him to go find a colt to sit on, and the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. And you know, they're wondering, what is he going to do? And brought the ass and the colt and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And with a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. And others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, the multitudes, can you hear them saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was coming to Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? And the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. This is the man we're following. The man that can turn water into wine. The man that heals all manner of diseases. This is the one I want to follow. I am a Christian. Hello, my name is Christian. I am a Christian. I want to follow him all the way. So in Luke, the 10th chapter, we find great rejoicing there too. Luke 10 and 17. He had sent them out two by two. He had appointed 70. So two by two. So there was a group of 35, so to speak, that were two by two. Two people. And it said in the 17th verse, and I thought, how excited must they have been? It says, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto thy name, subject unto us through thy name. And I've thought about that. How awesome was that? They went about in Jesus' name, healing, just like he did. Casting out devils just like he did. And they had the same power as he did. And when they came back, they were so excited. This is the Jesus I want to follow. My name is Christian. Hello. Hello, people. I am a Christian. I want you to know I am associated with this man. See that man over there riding on the colt? That's my master. That's the one I'm following. He's my Savior. He's my Lord. And I love him. I want him. I want him in my life. And in Matthew, the 16th chapter, this is more expressions on that same end. Matthew 16 and 13. And when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, and some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. But he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Who do you think? Who am I to you? What is Jesus to you? And I think Peter said it perfectly. Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Yes. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Who is Jesus to you? Is it just the name Christian only? Or are you convinced that he is the Son of the living God? He is the Christ. He is the Redeemer of the whole world. Who is he to you? Who is he to you? Now, in John, the 6th chapter, we start seeing a different light. Just a little bit. Not Jesus is different, but the perceptions of Jesus starts changing a little bit. Okay? So John, the 6th chapter and the 66th verse, Jesus had been telling them that if you're going to be a part of me, you're going to have to drink my blood and eat my flesh. And it said, what he said is a hard saying. He wants us to be like him in every way. He wants us to be like him. And they were saying, that, I don't know if I can handle that. And there was something that happened, and I've thought of that. You're listening to the man of God. You're listening to the Son of God. You're seeing that he healed all manner of diseases. You notice that he fed the thousands. And now we're coming down to a hard part. A hard part. And it said that from that point on, there's a 66th verse that says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Now, as a side note, I'd like to ask you, what did they go back to? Idolatry? Sins? Disease? When you walk away from God, you have walked away from your only hope.
Yes, that's right.
The everlasting hope. The greatest of hopes. What are you going to go back to? I'm here to tell you, I've seen people walk away, and what they walked back to wasn't pretty at all. And I think, you walked away from Jesus for this? This kind of lifestyle? This kind of heartache? Doesn't look good to me. But anyway, it was hard. It was hard. They didn't want to follow that part. Lord, it's okay if you're healing all manner of diseases. And it's great when you're feeding the thousands. But when you come down to this, I'm supposed to be like you in every way. I don't know if I can handle that part. You're just a little bit too simple. You're a little bit too rough. You're not elegant. You're not eloquent. You're just a simple servant. I don't know. I don't know if I want that part. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? And once again, Simon Peter had the perfect answer. Simon Peter answered, said, Lord, to whom shall we go? What are we going to go back to? Nothing. There's nothing. I'm telling you, there's nothing. Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. A very similar answer that he had given before. So on that name badge, my name is Peter, but I'm also a child of God. I am a Christian. Do I have that on mine? Hello, my name is LaDonna, and I am a Christian, and I will follow him to the death. So we see how this is going here. Okay, perceptions are starting to change a little bit. So, you know, Peter had the right words, but even Peter had to be convinced of who Jesus really was to him. Because when that came to the point of the Golgotha or the Gethsemane, then the Golgotha Calvary, he failed miserably. He was real interested in Jesus, as long as you're doing all that strong stuff, because he was a strong fisherman. But when you're talking about suffering, he started having a little problem with it. And if you remember, when he denied Christ, well, first of all, in the garden, do you remember in the garden, he pulled out his sword. He was ready to defend Jesus in a carnal, physical way. And Jesus said, put up your sword. He who uses the sword will die by the sword. So anyway, what happened then was Peter was still having a problem with Peter. He had his name. I am Peter. I'm a Christian. But now he's starting to peel that last label off. Maybe I'm not so Christ at all. Maybe I don't want to follow him. Maybe I don't want to be his disciple after all. And then Jesus had said, Satan desires to sift you as wheat. When Jesus tells you that, you better take it seriously and you better fall on your face before the Lord, because he does want to sift you as wheat. But I will say, Peter did. He denied Christ not once, not twice, but three times. And then he went out and wept bitterly. And I'm telling you, that name badge for Peter changed. It changed. Because if you will remember, one of the main people on the day of Pentecost was who? Peter. Because he had laid aside his own selfish feelings of how he wanted to be a Christian and follow the Lord, and decided to follow him wholeheartedly with everything that he had. And if you notice, Peter gave himself totally to the work of the Lord. He gave himself totally to God. He gave himself, Peter said, I am a Christian. And he lived the life of a Christian at that point. And that's where we're at. So I'm going to ask you, Matthew, the 26th chapter and the 51st verse. And we'll just review this. Behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand. And we know it's Peter because it's written in another gospel. Stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. Then said Jesus unto him, put up thy sword unto this place, his place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled, that thus it must be? So right then, their perceptions were changing. And Jesus was being carried to a place of crucifixion. Jesus suffered miserably. He was tormented. And if you can just imagine in your mind the stripped body, the inhumane treatment that he got. Are you willing to follow him in that? Are you willing to follow him when it's not pretty? When it's a little bloody? When it's flesh being sacrificed on a cross? That's where they were having problems. They had ideas in their mind. They knew what this Christ was going to come and do. It was to set up a kingdom, they said. And they were so excited that they would get to defeat the enemy in a real way. And we'll just show you, Romans, how this is going to be. And it didn't turn out that way in their minds at all. And yet Jesus had done that. He set up that kingdom within the heart of every man. Much more. It was superseded any other kingdom. Because it's within the heart. Now it's in the heart. You can carry it to wherever country you live in, whatever culture you live in. You can live for Jesus. You might suffer, but you can still live for him. They can't stamp it out of you. They can't imprison. They will imprison you, but they still can't take it out. They just have had a hard time stamping it out since then. Why? Because it's in the heart. It can't be taken away. There's no law against it now. But they were having a hard time trying to transfer that physical image they had in their mind to that spiritual one. And it causes trouble. Do you know it still causes trouble today? We're willing to have the label, I am a Christian. But when it comes down to the Gethsemanes and the gardens and the Golgothas and the Calvaries, we're a little hesitant. And I think, Lord, please help us to understand that naming the name of Christ embraces all of it. It embraces the persecution, the time when you might be a little embarrassed. Okay, I am a Christian. You know what? I look totally different than everybody else here around me. Am I still willing to say, I am a Christian? Am I still, or maybe not say it at all? I think living it on him is far more powerful than even saying, I'm a Christian. When you're around people who are very ungodly, and the Lord didn't want to remove us from the world, he wanted to keep us by his grace in the world. So do you know you're going to be surrounded sometimes and you're going to be the only one? How's that going to feel? Do you want him even then? Or do you want to just kind of slide out and say, well, I'll put on Christian when I walk out this door? Because, you know, everybody understands. Do you know? That's why I ask, what is Jesus to you? Is he just something you can put on and something you can take off? The Lord wants more than that out of us. He wants complete devotion to him wherever you're at, however, whatever place you're in. He wants your light to shine, and it's his light shining through you. But it can't happen if you're covering it. It can't happen if you're hiding it. It happens when you say, I'm a Christian, despite the Gethsemanes, despite the Golgothas. When my flesh is being shredded, That's what happened when Jesus was scourged. That was a Roman scourging. A Roman scourging is one of the most cruel things. If you'll look it up, I don't even know if I want to be the graphic part of it here, but it is one of the most demeaning and cruel ways to torture a human body. But do you know, sometimes there are times that we're going to have to crucify our flesh. We're going to have to put it on that tree, that rugged cross, and we're going to have to nail by his grace are the nails. We're going to have to be willing to say, I nail this to you. I'm dying for this, for you, dear Lord. I realize this fleshly part of me cannot be a part of your kingdom. It cannot be a part of who you are. You are Jesus. You are the Son of the living God. And I want to embrace you in my life. And this flesh right here can't be a part of it. So I'm willing to crucify it. I'm willing to say no. I won't give in to that. And in Matthew, the 26th chapter and the 69th verse, we see where Peter had failed miserably. Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him and saying, thou also was with Jesus of Galilee. We saw you with him. Because, you know, I'm sure when he was with him in Galilee, his head was held higher and say, I am Peter. I'm following. I am a disciple of Christ. Just so you know, I'm a disciple of Christ. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And I wonder sometimes if we do that. I don't know what you're talking about. And when he had gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them that were there, this fellow also was with Jesus of Nazareth. I've seen him. I've seen him. And again he denied with an oath. We didn't just stop there. I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, surely thou art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. Well, then he started using curse words to cover his speech that was before. And immediately the cock crew. And I've wondered how electric that moment was. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. Do you know, may our heart's desire be, Lord, I want to be your child, yes, no matter what. I want to be your servant, no matter what. Philippians has a beautiful reference to this. Philippians, this is Paul speaking to the saints there at Philippi. Philippians, he says, 1:20. I think this is a beautiful testimony. According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Either way, whatever you choose for my life, Lord, and everything in between, because you know we are born, we will die. There's a big line between that. Sometimes it's a short line. But whatever that line entails, Lord, I'll go with you all the way. Because I love you. I love being your child. I love being a disciple of Christ. And I want to show the world just how wonderful that kind of life is. And by your grace and help and strength, you're going to show me how to do that. That's what I want to do. I don't want to do it just in the good times, because, you know, you're going to have people that love to be Christians in a good time. But when it comes to being cast out in the middle of hungry lions, they're going to renege a little bit. We don't have that to face here. I'm thankful we don't have that to face here, but we still do have things to face that are contrary to what our flesh wants to do. And are you still wanting to be a Christian then? Or only in name? Because it makes me look good. It's a badge for me. I can take that little magnet badge off when I get home. But when I'm with people, I want them to know I am a Christian. Well, the Lord wants you to be a Christian at home. He wants you to be a Christian everywhere. Because he died to give you the grace to overcome everything in your life, to be successful and victorious in everything spiritual in your life. But it may cut across the flesh. And when it does, what are you going to do with that badge? What are you going to say to that badge? What are you going to say to the world? Like, well, you understand. We understand how it is, you know. It's just the world. What is your commitment to the Lord? I think David said it well in Psalms 119. He has a lot of beautiful things to say. And this one, this little passage in 119, he mentions the law, the statutes, the commandments, and all of that, judgments. But do you know, sometimes we don't love the laws. We don't love the commandments. We don't love the statutes. But David expressed it so very beautifully in Psalm 119 and 57. It says, "Thou art my portion. You are everything to me. O Lord, I have said that I would keep thy words. I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. The bands of the wicked have robbed me, but I have not forgotten thy law. And at midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. I am a companion of all them that fear thee, and of them that keep thy precepts. The Lord, the earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. Teach me thy statutes." Because what happens when I become aware of what those statutes and laws do for me, it beautifies. Yes. It fortifies. It brings forth the image of Christ. Yes. And that's what we want. I don't want to go through this world and at the very end of my life, I don't want to still look like LaDonna. I want to look like Christ. Yes. In every way possible in my life. That's my desire. So I'd like to go to Exodus. This is a beautiful example too. Exodus 21 and 5. I've thought of this over and over. Let this be our desire. Let this be. Do you know, Jesus needs to be our reality, not our religion. And I think a lot of times people just use the word religion loosely. And in fact, I'm not even sure I even like that word religion anymore, because it's used so flippantly. Let Jesus be your reality. Let him be who you really are. Not because of what the church teaches or what the Bible teaches. Let it be more than that. Let it be that my life embraces the love of God and its entirety in my life. That it's no longer superficial, but it's supernatural inside of me. Yes. That the world can look at you and say, you know, I see something different in you. I see Jesus in you. That's what we want. So this let this be your desire. Exodus 21 and 5. You know, there is given. Let's go to the first. "Now these are the judgments which thou shalt set before thee. If thou buy an Hebrew servant, 6 years he shall serve, and in the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. If he come in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master have given him a wife, and she have borne him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her masters, and he shall go out by himself. And if the servant shall plainly say, 'I love my master, my wife, and my children,' I will not go out free. Then his master shall bring him into the judges. He shall also bring him to the door, or unto the doorpost, and his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever." Yes. Lord, that hole in my ear represents where your love has superseded my desires. Yes. I will no longer go out free to do whatever I wanted to do, because Master, I love you. Yes. I want there to be a representation of Christ in my life. I don't want it to be all me. I want it to be all you. So once again, I ask, is he? What is Jesus to you? Is he a religion or is he a reality? I desire you pray for me.
Yes, amen.